Well, welcome to another episode of the Multi-Asian Church podcast series. We are on episode number 4, and my name is DJ Chuang. I'm joined here with my co-host, Ed Choi, and we're continuing our conversation about how to pastor and lead in a multi-Asian church. So Ed has been guiding, teeing up the question, and we have a conversation around it. So let's go, Ed. What is our topic for this episode?
Great. Okay, DJ. Here's the question. What can senior leaders do, or what can senior leaders do better that will help Asian American leaders thrive as opposed to being frustrated and or leaving? Probably both of you and I have seen quite a number of leaders leave churches, Asian American leaders leave, being frustrated. And let me just caveat that when I say senior leaders,
yes,
I'm going to say if you want to limit that to either English ministry or next generation senior leaders. So I'm not not necessarily talking about, you know, Chinese elders or Korean elders or, you know, whatever.
Very good. Yeah. And that is the context of our conversation in this multi-Asian church podcast, that we have an assumption of kind of dealing in an English setting and not so much touching on the cultural and multilingual dynamics of an ethnic Asian church. So it's good to reiterate that for listeners who are joining us for the first time. And I do encourage them to go back to the previous three episodes to get more context and kind of the trajectory and the ground that we've already covered so far. And we do invite your comments and feedback, and we'd love to cover some of the questions and topics that the listeners may have as well. So tonight's question is about what can senior leaders do to provide a place that helps Asian American leaders to thrive rather than be frustrated. And I just happened to have a conversation related to that today with one of my colleagues who has worked with both senior pastors in their 40s and 50s, more in a mainstream evangelical, mostly white context. And the issue that surfaces in that context, and I think it's parallel to the question on this episode, is that senior pastors and the high-capacity leaders tend to live in two very different worlds. Let me unpack that a little bit. So senior leaders and pastors, and I have been through seminary as well, so I have a pastoral bias. We look at how churches run and how ministry is done from a very spiritual, theological lens, and we don't quite have the background or the context for what that might look like in a business context in terms of how we live out our faith. And so what happens is high capacity leaders who tend to be business leaders and are able to develop people, manage resources, get a lot of things done and reach goals and that kind of thing. Business leaders often get frustrated in the church because their leadership capacity is not put to use. And the typical, and I'm just going to refer to kind of a stereotype, and the thing about stereotypes, it doesn't describe every church, but it does describe many of them, and enough of them that we often chuckle and laugh and say, yeah, we've kind of seen that. So churches are pretty good about setting up volunteer positions where people can do very entry-level kinds of things, like hand out bulletins, chairs, maybe a little more complexity would be leading music, because you have to have musical talent, or you know, for those that can get better training, maybe Sunday school teacher, and ushering, you know, very, very basic skills kind of thing, but it doesn't really tap into people who are gifted or have developed higher capacity leadership gifts and skills, like strategic thinking, like goal setting, like managing resources and developing other leaders beyond just content. And so where that conversation wound up was there needs to be that cultivating of respect for pastors and high-capacity business leaders so that they don't frustrate each other. And out of that respect, greater kingdom impact can happen. And there's a lot under respect. There's also the building of relationship and trying to understand each other's different worlds and realizing that's all part of God's kingdom and there's great things that can happen if we kind of learn from each other and learn together and accomplish greater things. And that will minimize frustration and increase greater impact. The other thing I'd say at this point is when it comes to leadership, development and working with leaders, there's three aspects that come to mind. One is content. And I think given the seminary training that most of us have as pastors, we're great at content, Bible teaching, kind of a classroom setting. You know, that's our approach to ministry. There's very much an educational aspect to it. Would you agree so far? Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to make sure we're still connected here.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then, and I think through ministry training, we are also very aware of character and having a walk of holiness. And then there's a third aspect of competency, which sometimes gets overlooked or underdeveloped because, hey, people are walking with God and they mean well and they're sincere, but it's hard to provide feedback and to really work through a situation where someone's not a good fit and isn't able to do what they wish they could do, or if someone's quote-unquote underperforming, it's really hard to deal with that in some church context. And then the fourth thing I should mention is coaching. Yeah, and that's where leaders are sharpening leaders and leaders are developing leaders based on those other three areas.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, there's so many different areas to chase this down, DJ. This
sure.
is so helpful. I just read this week something from in David Anderson's book. Maybe mm-hmm. you can touch on this topic. He brought up the scenario that you just said when you have someone that might be underperforming, but he was talking about it in a multi-ethnic sense. So, you know, let's say you have, you know, a multi-ethnic staff. And somebody is, you know, so let's say you're an Asian leader and you have somebody on the staff that's a Latino leader or an Asian from a different cultural background or, you know, something, or you're from LA and they're from, you know, Illinois or something like that. Maybe, you know, touch on the cultural sensitivity or, I mean, you mentioned.
Yeah, that's right.
You mentioned the importance of understanding, respect. Maybe yes. touch on the relational side of the leadership team.
Yeah, that's a great thought. And perhaps we could add another C to our list is culture.
Mm.
Yeah. And so all of us have come from, if you will, microcultures or family systems.
Mm.
And then you kind of have that macro culture of different ethnicities and races and languages, and certainly that is heightened in a multi-ethnic context. And so sometimes what may be considered performing in one context is normal in another. So the one that kind of gets a chuckle in a multi-ethnic conversation is time, the concept of time. So being on time is an indicator of respect in Western culture, but that's not the way time is perceived in an Eastern culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not really a character issue. That's more of a culture issue. And that's kind of an easy example. We could chase down a whole bunch of other examples.
Mm-hmm.
But just to illustrate, culture is definitely a part of it. And then each person. The other conversation that's surfing something up is just the family system dynamic of how that shapes a leader's character and culture, and all those come into play. In terms of the relational aspect, leadership is both task and relationship. And I think most of the training material focuses on the task part, and they talk about the relational part, but it's not really modeled and fleshed out. And that's just my sense of what I've seen and heard. So, but I think relationship is so essential, because you're leading people, you're working with people, and you want to do it with respect and dignity for others' image of God. And sometimes you have to have hard conversations. And in a multicultural context, it may be, well, not even multicultural, relationships can be quite volatile. So if someone gets offended and isn't willing to work through it, it's a loss.
Yeah. DJ, let's go back to something that you said, and I think we just kind of skimmed over it. It's related to relationships. You know, talking about the two worlds, the ministry, spiritual world of a pastor, and probably in most churches that, you know, we're talking about, they're not going to be like Saddleback, maybe a small staff, a couple of pastors, a pastoral team. But most of the ministry is going to be, you know, carried out, of course, through the people of the church. And if we're in a multi-Asian context, you know, this, of course, is going to depend on where we are, but it's probably going to tend to be a higher level of education, and you're going to have these business leaders or, you know, I don't know if business leader is the right word, but, you know, they're contributing. You know, I think of our church, you know, and the people in their workplaces are contributing to significant things. And then they come to church and they're handing out bulletins or something. Just going back to you talked about cultivating the relationship between these two kinds of leaders. What are some of the practices of building, bridging those relationships that you've seen work or and be effective? Or what advice might you give to a pastor, a leader, in how they might, and maybe in some cases, develop or deepen the relationships with the, I'm not trying to narrow this to high capacity leaders in the congregation, but just the.
Yeah, well, I point out the high capacity leader, not just because I had a conversation about it earlier today, but also those are the ones that get frustrated the most quickly and obviously.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch on the point of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I guess I would say this, there's two aspects to relationship. There's the personal relationship and then the working relationship. And developing the personal relationship will help you navigate the working relationship. And relationships are about conversation and time. And so just getting a Bible study together and hearing about the challenges they have living out their faith in their workplace would be a great bridge to understand how the Bible matters in their work world. And then how their skills and gifts and exposure to how things work in the real world can help the church do its work. So that's kind of a short answer to it, but because it's such a big question, that's just beginning to be wrestled with in my work with Leadership Network. So it's very much a new issue, and I think it's because of our cultural development that this has heightened as well. So let's roll back the clock 200 years or so, where the pastor was the most educated, knowledgeable person in a community. That is no longer the case. Knowledge has exploded, and skills have exploded. And so now the pastor has to take on a different role and help manage and facilitate and shepherd very gifted people. That's a huge different deal. And yet our seminary is still in the classroom education model. And we don't really know how to direct and shepherd people in the sense of getting things done for the kingdom.
Oh, this is great, DJ. So what I'm hearing, I mean, I don't want to be overly simplistic, but sometimes that's good, is the importance of the senior leaders, pastoral staff, whatever, to really build relationships. And if we're going to develop leaders, especially high capacity leaders, we have to invest in them and find a way to, I mean, you're using the word, manage, shepherd their strengths and skills. And maybe, what do you think about this? It seems like in those two worlds, the pastors might try to lock in, let's say I have some high capacity leader and the way that I'm communicating is as if the only way for them to use their gifts and serve is, in the church on Sunday. As opposed to trying to figure out where they're strong and, manage, shepherd that even in the marketplace, and see the ministry more as a, the formal gatherings, whether it's a Sunday worship or a Bible study or whatever, as the place where they're just being encouraged and equipped to go use their strengths. Not that there isn't a place, for that to be used in the ministry.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that a frustration you hear at all?
Yeah.
In terms of
limiting
the context for you, the use of their gifts?
Yeah, you really surface one. Is we, those of us in ministry tend to see, oh yeah, everybody attending our church should be serving in our church in some way. And yet, God may very well gift and call people to live out their faith in the marketplace or in the community, and our church isn't real good at encouraging and supporting that. And we only have so much capacity, so I realize we can't do everything for everybody. But to provide respect and helping people fulfill their calling would certainly be a very good thing, and not have people live under guilt or shame,
yes,
frustration, which leads to the frustration. Actually, and there's a few resources that are being developed now. So in the show notes, I will link to a book, something called About Kingdom Partnership. It's a really neatly published book because it's a two-sided book. So when you turn it one way, it's addressed to the ministry leader. And then when you turn it the other way, it's addressed to the marketplace leader.
To
help them bridge that conversation. So that's an excellent resource. I don't have the title off the top of my head, but I'll put it in the show notes. The other one is the Center of Faith and Works, which is in New York City. It's a ministry that birthed out of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, where Tim Keller is the senior pastor. And they have really cultivated a place where people of faith, followers of Christ, who are called to the marketplace, can have conversation and develop what does it look like to live out the gospel in the workplace, whether you're an actor, whether you're a finance guy, whether you're, I don't know what other kinds of work they do in New York, but that would be another excellent point of reference to begin fleshing that out, how the church can support the idea that God gives people and calls people to all kinds of contexts, not just Sunday morning.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love and appreciate that, DJ. My passion is to reach and equip and send, and if we can develop, spread out and equip more senior leaders to have a bigger picture and really bring some of these resources together, I think I can only speak for myself, but I feel like sometimes I'm very alone in the conversation when it's ludicrous to be alone in the conversation, when there's so many of us that are we're struggling with the same issues and the same questions and the same frustrations.
Yeah.
You know, this dialogue hopefully will stimulate others.
Yes. Well, we're all busy people, and you know, all of us have a hard time managing what's important and what's urgent, and finding a good rhythm of work and rest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, and you know, and I think you know, one of the issues that I'm wrestling with in that is actually something that one of the pastors in our English network shared with us the phrase. I think it's the term pastoral identity. Anyway, you know, all pastors are not shaped the same. You know, pastors all have the same personality and ministry fit, and some are going to be really good at just shepherding a small group. Some are going to be more catalytic in their in their leadership. And
yes.
So yeah, definitely at a place, and I don't know who else listening might be as well, but in a place where I'm trying to sort through that and you know, really learn to make the things that are most important to me and the things that God's calling me to the most important in my daily life, instead of just being pulled day to day. And you know, the technology is great, but we have to be disciplined so that the technology serves us, and instead of having the technology master us. And you know, so I have some new gadgets that I'm trying to manage, you know, and I'm trying not to go to bed with them.
That's a good start. Yes.
Yeah. My wife prefers me to go to bed just with her.
That's good. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, well, this is great, DJ. This is a lot to think about.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm glad you can hit the play button again and listen to it. All right. Well, I think this wraps up our episode for the Multi-Asian Church podcast. Thank you, Ed, for joining us and continuing this conversation. And we'll check in with you next week.
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you, Ed.